Our gospel reading for this week comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in the 9th chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, and so give without payment." The gospel of our Lord. Friends, will you please pray with me? God, help us in Matthew's gospel to identify ourselves as a disciple, despite at times, Lord, our lack of willingness to truly follow you. God, we pray that you would help us to see what it means to be a disciple, to read these words, to read the story of this first group of people who was sent out by you, Lord, and to learn something today, to be encouraged and challenged today. God, that's our prayer. So, Holy Spirit, we pray you would move in our time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Whew, there's so much going on in the world right now. And when we're preparing for sermons or times of worship in the midst of all of it, I feel sometimes inadequate. And that's my own stuff that I'm throwing out there. But just the ability to proclaim a message of life-giving truth is such a burden. And so I look to those who are wiser than me. I'll start with Pastor Karen. Pastor Karen last week challenged us in a way that I believe was so necessary and timely. A challenge that perhaps we should have been hearing forever in the church, but one that was definitely needed. She challenged us to take a look at what it means to be a disciple. She challenged us to take a look at the power of the Trinity at work in our lives, but also at work in neighbor in the community. She challenged us to name racial injustice. She challenged us to name oppression. She challenged us to look in the mirror and realize that we too are part of the problem. And those challenges don't go away. In fact, they're reinforced this week as Jesus reminds us what a disciple is supposed to do and be. This most famous of gospel readings, where Jesus names the 12 disciples. And some of you may have for the first time heard some of these names. We're very familiar with Peter and John and James, and everyone knows Judas. But there's a number of others, and they all have different callings in life as well. Some of them worked for the government, the state, the very enemy that Jesus was proclaiming against. One of them would deny Christ 3 times. One of them would betray Christ. Yet these were the people that Jesus sent out into the world. It's a great reminder that all of us, no matter how broken we think we are, all of us are called and given these gifts to go out into the world and to be disciples for the kingdom, for the greatness and the glory of God. But to do so, we must admit some things. We must admit that when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven has come near, we must admit that sometimes we don't believe that. We must admit that when Jesus says cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons, that we sometimes recoil at the thought of having to deal with people who are sick, whether it's a sickness of the body or a sickness of the mind or a sickness of the heart. We don't want to dig into that, and so we step aside. It's in those moments that I hope we are reminded of the great words of Dr. Martin Luther King when he says the ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at times of challenge and controversy. These disciples, you must, if you don't know, I want to give you a quick history lesson. These disciples in first century Israel, they were met with oppression immediately. Remember, if you go back to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the gospel began with the state government, the government, the empire, killing babies in fear of Jesus' birth. That oppression would continue. It would continue until Jesus was killed for bringing about a peaceful protest. These disciples, these 12 brown bodies that were sent out by Christ into the world to change the world, were given these tasks. Heal the sick of mind, body, spirit. Heal the sick. Be with them. Spend time with them. Offer all you have to them so that they know they are not alone. Combat demons. Combat those evil forces in the world that do all they can to put others down while lifting themselves up. Proclaim this good news. Raise the dead. Remind people that there is new life available, and not just this eternal life that we are promised through our Savior's resurrection, but that our Savior's resurrection also promises us new life in a way that we are sometimes surprised by. New life in relationship, new life in understanding, and in admitting that we were wrong and putting to death thoughts that were so evil, so ugly, so ingrained in us, but then seeing that there was actually new life available to us. The time is always right to do the right thing, is what Dr. King teaches us. Yet the church must be honest about their culpability in not responding to Jesus' first call of discipleship. ELCA pastor Lenny Duncan, who wrote a great book, he wrote a great book called Dear Church, a love letter from a black preacher to the whitest denomination in the U.S. He says this: it's time to stop prioritizing tradition and civility over the lives of the marginalized. Our well-meaning desires to be tolerant and welcoming have left us ill-equipped to face radical evil. The church is culpable in our inability to confront some things in our world that are simply terrible. And so we're left in our bubble, not sure what to do. Yet Jesus points us back here and says, here's what you are to do. You're to cure the sick. You're to raise the dead. You're to cleanse the lepers. And you're to cast out demons. You receive without payment, and so give without payment. And then you go earlier, and it says when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. This is the first time in Matthew's gospel that we read this word, compassion. He has compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This gospel lesson comes shortly after the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus proclaims a kingdom of heaven here, available to us here on earth, that looks nothing like the world that these first century Israelites are living in. Following this, we're in a few more chapters, Jesus is going to say to his disciples, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's promising them that, like, while this might be terrifying, this idea of pushing back against oppression, pushing back against injustice, about following me to the point of even death, I promise you that I'm with you always. And if you believe that, my yoke will seem easy, my burden will seem light. These things will not paralyze you with fear and action, but instead they will move you to action. Last week, Pastor Karen read the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the sending of the disciples to go and make disciples. This here in Matthew 9 is Jesus telling them, you must become disciples. You see what we got going on here? They are becoming disciples. And by the end of their time with Christ, he will send them into the world to make disciples. And church, that's what we're called to do. Are you listening? That's what we're called to do in this world. Pastor Karen and so many other faith leaders across the country are reminding me of my inaction and my inability to respond to the way that Christ calls us to respond. God is calling for those who will offer Christ-like compassion to the harassed and helpless people to stand up and do so now. Pastor Joy Moore says, the Spirit of the risen Jesus gives his true followers authority to overcome the evil that crouches at our doorstep. The question is what will we do? Will we, like Christ, sacrifice our very existence so that the children of God all live life abundantly? Or will we, like Cain, exercise our capacity to take the very life of our brother, our sister? Or like Pilate, will we stand idly by and claim that it's not our problem, you deal with it? Church, this call for discipleship is summed up in a verse. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. All has been given to you without payment required. Give to all without payment required. Jesus has given us this model, and he's done it through these broken people who went into a broken world and somehow sought to heal it. And until municipalities and powers and empires and all these things got heavily involved in the church, for a brief moment, there was this beautiful movement of Christians, this beautiful movement of Christ followers who actually responded to these words of Christ and who actually went into the world and confronted boldly to the point of death oppression and injustice and sought peace and wanted to cure the sick, wanted to heal the leper, wanted to cast out the demon, and wanted to be ready for neighbor in any and all circumstances. That's what Pastor Karen called us to last week, and that's what I'm calling you to this week. Friends, we are in this series, Becoming Disciples, Making Disciples. And this verse, these verses today tell us that we are sent out into the world. We are given a responsibility, a task, to go be the church in the world. Are we doing it? I love LCR. I love the ministries that take place here. And I'm convinced that we will read these words and we will move to action. And so I pray that you would just know that we are here trying to respond to the call of Christ in our society, in our community, in this world that is so broken, so in need of this love and justice and peace. And we believe that we are ready now more than ever to respond. And don't let your inaction in the past prevent you from stepping forward. Now is the time. Now is the time to go out and do what Christ has called us to. And so that we can then pray the words of Dr. King. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself. Amen.